I'm going to have 20 minutes, so I'm going to go through it very quickly, kind of like the Hong Kong speed. So the death and life of the great vertical city. So this is the title of the presentation that I'm giving today. Very quickly going through the reason behind the vertical density of Hong Kong. We got approximately about 25% developable land, and 75% of our land are basically either outlying islands or the mountains, as you can see here. And that's the reason why we are so packed. And this is actually what you can easily download from the internet, Google, Yahoo, or whatsoever. But what I would like to talk to you or show you today is something inside this urban fabric. If we go back to the Jane Jacobs book, The Death and Life of the Great American Cities, these are the four categories of her discoveries. First of all, I would like to show you an art project which we did for the Hong Kong Shenzhen Biennale exhibition last year. Well, actually this year. This is what we call sectional urbanism. At the meantime, Hong Kong, whenever we talk about urban planning and urban design issues, one would still rely on the conventional design approach, which is called zoning, which we rely a lot on the plan as the driving tool for creating the urbanism of Hong Kong. And the history of the plan as a media to depict and also to generate a urban form date back all the way to the Nolan map period, and then at a certain point we have the situationist map which tried to depict the psychological ideas of human beings, and then this is what we have now, and we are having now in Hong Kong. That is the planning district plan designed by the planning department, and also if we zoom in, we will have the outline zoning plan, and then the project start to question whether the two-dimensional tool, namely the plan as a tool to generate an urban fabric, is the only solution or the tool, especially given the fact that for Asian culture, we almost like having a kind of self-organization structure and also pattern of living. And therefore, I took the students to, this is the exhibition venue, and therefore, I took the students to really research in the West Kowloon district, and the which is actually a very old district. And this is actually the site elevation of our team. I was there as well. Anyways, let me show you the little. Video. What we discovered was that basically there are two main issues that we discovered. One is that from the 1960s all the way to 2000, there were two main topics that we can find in Hong Kong urbanism. One is the disposition of the planned and also the self-organized pattern of living being coexisted in this urban fabric, and the other one is the self-organized structure of this fabric inside this district. And therefore, we try to make use of sections instead of plans to rediscover the accents of those things. Just like this little movie here, this is actually one of the old buildings built in the 1970s by which you can still see how people live and work. Most of the time, they would have the little shops on the ground level, and then maybe there would be a little mezzanine, and then going up to the residential part on the upper level. And sometimes, like the Chongqing Mansion, you still discover a lot of different forms of activities happening on. And this is what I called Hong Kong culture, and more importantly, Asian culture, by which the self-organization takes place. This is an art project by which this kind of movies just keep rolling and rolling, and you know, it's kind of showing these notions in a two-dimensional manner simultaneously. So this is a very first kind of warm-up in order to you to have a Hong Kong taste. So the major development type is virtually the thing that you just saw. It depicted the old tenement houses all the way to the new developments, by which I think during the previous two sessions, a lot of his speakers have talked about the infrastructure plus the comprehensive development area, you know, kind of mixed-use development. So the second project that I would like to show you is actually in Wan Chai, which is actually an old city district in the Hong Kong Island. If we go back to the history, one will find that actually the Hong Kong Island, this is actually the Victoria Harbour, and this is the Convention Exhibition Centre, you know, what we call a tortoise, sitting, looking towards the Victoria Harbour now. One can easily say that the Hong Kong urbanism of the Hong Kong Island actually rely a lot on reclamation. And then if you zoom in closely, one can see that actually the blocks in the inner city area is far smaller than those in the near the seashore, meaning that the degree of intimacy is actually decreasing towards the northern part of Hong Kong Island. So this is actually the general urban morphology of the Hong Kong Island. And then this is what I want to talk about. I mean, if we take a look at this, this is actually the tram line, and then towards the south of it, actually we can still see small and the humanistic kind of a proportion and configuration. And as we move out, it's just like what I mentioned before, the blocks get bigger. Unfortunately, I'm going to show you in the later part, but actually you can see this one here. Actually, if you go to Hong Kong now, this is actually being combined into one. Once upon a time, it is something like this, which has little streets that cuts through this lot of land. If you go to Wan Chai, the inner city part, I mean those streets, this is what you can get. I mean, you see layers, right? I mean, you see the shops, which is attaching to the ground level of the buildings. And then you have another layer, which is actually selling, stuff like, accessories and clothing and things like that. And then in the middle, you have the open market type. So this is what interests us. I would like to take you to Lee Tung Street, which is actually a self-organized wedding card street. This is actually a project done by one of my artist friends. His name is Park Chai. He's not around today, but I'm going to show you what he did. This is actually showing the ground level of the Lee Tung Street, which is actually gone now. If you go to Hong Kong nowadays, it's completely gone. But what interests us is that in this kind of fabric, we actually have a lot of human or neighborhood relationship. Like this guy here, the techie old man, the boss, is actually the one who actually organized the wedding, the wedding banquet for this guy, who is actually the second generation of this printing office. So that's one relationship that we can still find in Hong Kong. And then this guy, the Hawa, right? This is the washing shop. He's actually responsible for washing all the clothes, right, of these two guys. And amazingly, this guy, if we go back to the shop here, he's actually the guy who is keep supporting water to this fashion shop. This is a little fashion shop, believe it or not. I mean, this is just underneath the staircase, the exit staircase. And therefore, one would find that this kind of relationship in Hong Kong is very, I would say it's a treasure for us. But if you go to the Lee Tung Street nowadays, this is what you can actually get. I mean, because of the urban renewal and the urban regeneration process, these little shops, where you can actually find those intimate relationships between the neighbors, are all gone. And then 1 year later, when we went back, this is actually what we have. I mean, demonstrations and protests appeared in the streets. And then at the end of the day, it's all gone and closed, leaving something like this thing for us. And it is expected that another shopping mall, plus the residential and the office towers and hotel towers on the top, would be resulted. The second thing that I would like to talk about for Wan Chai is actually the project that I did for the Wan Chai District Council, because as you can see here, this is our site. This is actually the Hong Kong Wan Chai New Market. The reason why it is called New Market was that actually we have the old market here, which is actually kind of like an open market that you can still see in Hong Kong. But the thing is that the government, when they planned this project, they combined this lot and make it become a very, very big infrastructure by which they house a Wan Chai New Market. And then the ground level and also the basement are, and the first level are basically that's designated for the future wet market street vendors to move in. But the thing is that once it is completed, the Wanchai street vendors refused to go into the basement because they thought that this is going to harm their business. And therefore, we were actually setting up a workshop to get the wisdoms from the Wanchai old residents and neighbors in the district. We had a lot of these kind of workshops in Hong Kong, but I would say not all of them are really successful because it's only about talking. But what we did was that we actually did a groundwork research, you know, the interviews and also the surveys with the residents, and also we make models in order to have an easier linkage with them. So through this project, what I discovered is that a top-down approach versus a bottom-up approach is actually the thing that we should really think about when we do the urban regeneration and renewal process, because one can never think of, you know, the design solutions from the top level only. At the end of the day, we have summarized all those 7 points made by those 7 groups, and also with the principles that we have derived that, and then this is actually the combined scheme, and we have submitted it to the district council for their consideration. And a lot of people are saying that, okay, this is actually a good and a fun way to get them involved in the process. The third project that I would like to talk about is the what I call the urban living room. I was actually invited by the International Artist Workshop, by which we, together with 8 international artists and also 7 other local artists, we collaborated together to do a project for Song Shan Po, which is actually another old district, which is actually having one of the oldest population in Hong Kong. So very quickly, if we go to Song Shan Po, this is actually what we got from the internet. This is the administrative map. This is one way to read the city. This is actually almost like a top-down approach by which how it shows how the administrative is done in Hong Kong. If we go to the MTR subway, the subway map in Hong Kong, this is actually Song Shan Po, but actually the area stretches from Mei Fu all the way to Kowloon Tong and then all the way to Prince Edward. This is actually a very, very big area. Once again, if we try to look at the administrative division, it is actually, you can actually see that there it has been subdivided into a couple of districts for administration. This is the thing that you can get from the Wikipedia. This is actually showing a kind of a lower social class area in Hong Kong. If you go to Kevin Lynch, the definition of the edges, this is what you get. I mean, the yellow color symbolizes the edges that you can find in the Song Shan Po area. And this is actually the walking distance, the walkable distance from the different subway stations. And then this is actually showing the income, by which the darker the color, the higher the income the people are getting annually. This is actually the Kowloon Tong area, one of the so-called high-end and the higher social class living area. And then you on the other hand, you have the Mei Fu. But amazingly, this is actually where the so-called lower social class are living. And amazingly, you find a couple of red dots actually appearing in the middle of this old district. Combining all those maps, all those information together, we got this mapping diagram. This is actually where I start to find interest. I mean, these are the urban renewal projects are taking place. And actually, they built new residential towers, trying to drive the old residents or the existing residents away and build things, so-called modern high-rise towers. And then amazingly, through all those boundaries, I found a couple of arrows. The dotted arrows are showing there are groups of people who actually don't care about the definition of those political or whatsoever boundary. These are the people who actually go back and forth in the district. And actually, these are they are the street collectors. They collect the trashes and so on and so forth from the street, and they sell it. And especially in the rainy days, you see them more. I mean, you see all those old people, try to collect cardboards and so on and so forth, because whenever it rains, it's going to give the weight of the cardboards will become heavier, and they say they're in better prices. And so these are the people who actually, I would say, drift back and forth in the city, who doesn't care about those administrative or whatsoever boundary or have an interest actress. So that start to be the interest for my research and project. And at the end of the day, what I find out is that I find an old craftsman who actually rely a lot on the street. This is actually a public street. And then we actually collaborate together and did a art piece, which is actually a convertible, movable piece of furniture, which aims at reconstructing the losing or the hidden relationship between the old residents and the newcomers to the district. But I'm not going to talk about the art piece anyways. The most important thing is you see that once again the street is so important, the horizontal layer of the city is so important, because actually you see that Mr. and Mrs. Lee, who has been here for, they are actually over 70 years old, and actually Mr. Lee is over 80 years old, and they actually make the trolleys in the street. And then they actually eat in the street, and then they I just help them out. I mean, Mr. Lee is actually the guy who actually manufactured and produced the trolley using those collected material. I was just trying to pretend as if I'm working, because I need the picture anyways. And the highlight of the of this collaboration came when the two policemen are actually coming. Passing by. And actually at that time I was really afraid that they're going to give us tickets, because according to Mr. and Mrs. Lee, they were actually being funded by the policemen for a couple of times for occupying the streets illegally. But maybe I was there, and therefore the two policemen just passed by. Anyways, so this is what I want to show you for the third project. This is actually the little construction diagrams for the art piece project. And then in this 04, what I would like to do is to draw a little conclusion. This is actually what we are having now in Hong Kong. If we go back to the, something like not long, but 60 years ago, we have very small lots, as explained by the speakers yesterday. And nowadays we are having kind of like birthday cake towers. I mean, these are actually birthday cake, and then the candles are actually sitting on the top. And then if you go to these streets, right, nowadays, somewhere near the Yau Ma Tei, actually these are the things that you will get, you will see. And this is actually the general urban morphology in a sectional manner of the Hong Kong, city development. And this is actually a very, famous typology study done by Japanese in the mid-80s, by which you can see that the cantilever structure actually is replaced by the podium type structure. And some scholars are saying that, are criticizing that these things are actually killing off those street activities from happening on this ground level, because this is actually going to be like a curtain wall building, by which is actually going to be a short line that cuts the social network, and also try to classify Hong Kong people into different social classes. This is actually a very old photo of Hong Kong. If you go there nowadays, this is what you see. All right, amazing, huh? This is actually the Longham Place, designed by Jerry, and it was actually came into operation, I think, like 4 years ago. Actually, this is one of the urban renewal projects. Once again, if we go to this urban morphology map, we can see that the very narrow and tight urban buildings has become, something like this in the 1976. This is actually getting taller. And then in the 1992, the urban renewal process started to come into place in the Hong Kong area. And then this is what we are having now. I mean, now this is actually pretty much the place. I mean, making use of the McPherson playground here. This is actually the Longham Place. And the issue behind is that, on the one hand, we're actually having this kind of an interesting picture by which we still see the old and the new coexistence. And then this is actually the hoarding by the Longham Place when he, you know, it's like, I am coming, you know, please just go away, that kind of notion. One of the interesting features about this is that once this building came into operation, actually all those old and the so-called lower social class entertainment, this is actually almost like the red line zone in Hong Kong in the previous year. You see that it has been cleaned up because they just cannot sustain the high land rent as a result of the introduction of the five-star hotel there. So this is actually going beyond what physical structure is giving us, but it's actually talking about the software of our city. This is the general, a very rough facade of the old buildings in Hong Kong, and this is actually the famous Kowloon Wall City, by which it is actually placed by a park, unfortunately, which has nothing to do with the density, but this actually has once upon a time been a very, very interesting topic for the overseas scholars to come over to Hong Kong to study density. We are still keeping the density, but what I would like to conclude was that once the horizontal manner activities, the vibrant activities, needs to be rotated 90 degrees and become something like, you know, high-rise buildings, the authority is actually taking place. I mean, on the one hand, we are forced to have a very effective circulation, I mean, by the elevators, because this is vertical anyways. But on the other hand, because of the, you know, effectiveness or the efficiencies that has been advocated by those developers, the horizontally subdivided, you know, floor slabs are actually cutting those vibrant activities and stopping those, you know, kind of social network to happen, which once upon a time we see in Hong Kong, is actually diminishing and vanishing. If we don't want our city to be something like a generic city, this is a time that we have to think about. And if I say that, this is actually part of the Asian culture by which self-organization is the key, then what are we going to do? Are we going to do something like, you know, for the elderly housing, this is almost like a, you know, a chop, 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 you know, that kind of a slab building manner? Or can we allow some flexibility whenever we design something like this? I mean, this is actually almost like a private paradise that we actually pictured. A couple of years ago, this is actually, the guy is actually really doing something like self-organization, spontaneous response to the living environment. You see that this guy keeps, you know, improving this rooftop garden for himself. I would like to conclude this session with the different tactics, which is actually the last chapter of Jane Jacobs, and I would like to finish it with this is actually one of our upcoming urban renewal sites in Kwun Tong. This is actually the forthcoming urban renewal sites in the Kowloon City. As a matter of fact, because of the relocation of the airport, the buildings are getting taller and taller, replacing all those possibility with the homogeneous and generic high-rise house. I would like to conclude this with a question mark, and thank you so much.